CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is just after 6 o'clock. CliffCentral.com. I hope you are having a good September because it's about to finish. And then we start something new, which is called October. I'm very proud to introduce it, yes.
What is an October?
We have a shiny new month. It is filled with 31 days of goodness.
Ah, yeah. I've heard that before.
No, sorry, 30. 30 days of October. How many days in October? 30 days in October.
I've got to do my knuckles to find out.
Yeah, 30 days have September, April.
I was just going to open.
No, it's 31 now. Yeah. It is 31 now.
Well, if it's structured like the other months of 2021, it might be 100 or 150 days long.
Wow. What year are we in court?
I lost track of that.
Yeah, you just said 2021. Don't worry. I started the show on Monday morning saying it was Wednesday. So
I only do the show so I know what, like, I can keep track of the weeks passing by. I scratched like one line on the wall.
Like a prisoner.
Yeah.
Have you not heard of this concept called a calendar or a diary?
I find them far too much maths. It's geometry, it's algebra all at once.
It's too difficult.
It's overwhelming.
No.
And why do they got to name all the days? Like, they're such dumb names. It should be like Steve, Pete, Jenny, Sarah.
It's the day. Yeah. And now we have the day Steve.
The day of the moon. It is Monday.
Yeah. Actually, where does Monday come from again? Sunday. Man's day, I think, because Sunday is the day of the sun, right? And then Tuesday's Thor's day. No, sorry, Tuesday is... Oh, God, I used to know this shit. Someone taught me.
It's going to frustrate.
I thought Monday was the day of the moon, anyway. But now you've just ruined it for me that it's Man Day,
Might be. I don't know.
You're going to turn the left against Mondays, which is okay. We should actually let them cancel Monday.
Let them cancel Monday,
like, the sick patriarchal history of Monday and write an angry blog about it and just disseminate it like the rest and have Monday.
And so what will happen?
They'll just stop having Monday. Yeah, we'll just go Tuesday to Friday, then weekend, six-day week.
So we'll
replace it with Womb Day.
What's happening with you,
Monday,
Gord?
Translates to the moon's day.
There we go. So you were right, Gord.
Boom. Not a whole lot, GC. I'm just keeping it real, flexing along, doing little scraps of work when they present themselves and writing my kiddies' books.
Yeah.
And trying to do as little else as possible, if I'm honest.
I see you have a haircut.
I had all of them cut, actually. Yeah, it was a good deal.
Very spiffy.
That's very technically correct in English, that you had a haircut, and he's like, yes, I had all of them cut. God, you know, you got to listen to Gord really carefully sometimes, because occasionally he sneaks in any chance
to be juvenile and churlish.
I like it, though. I do like it. Well, there's a lot to talk about in the news. We'll save that for the headlines. I didn't wake up extra early to watch the debate because...
Oh, my God, the debate was last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm getting such mixed reviews from people, and I'm glad I didn't wake up early because it was on at 3 a.m. And I think if I'd woken up, I would have been frustrated. Like, even people I know who are massive Trump or Biden fans found it very frustrating. In fact, most people are saying, you know what, it became a little, talk about juvenile. And I'm giving my review without having seen it, so maybe I should just wait and watch the thing later. That was my plan. So I'll see if I.
So that's like what you're excited about for later. It's almost like back in the day when you'd PVR something.
No, I mean I was excited about it before it happened, but now reading some people's reviews, I get the feeling that it's probably disappointing, and not for one side, but for both sides.
As long as it's equally and fairly disappointing. See, yeah. I didn't want it to be a rout. But I'm commenting like you are on something I haven't seen.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just didn't want anyone to get humiliated for all time. I don't want kids in 2300, like, watching on some technology that can see old school things. That time President Trump humiliated the old man. Because you were saying, even if you like Trump or even if you like Biden, it was disappointing. But I'm not convinced there are a lot of people who like Biden. He's just a placeholder for don't like Trump.
I kind of get that feeling, but you know, we are also dealing with like two really old really unimpressive people in terms of character and personality. But we'll just have to see. I wait and I'll withdraw from this discussion for the moment, and we'll watch it later.
Discussion withdrawn. Tabling right, new topic. Exactly. Over to you, Gareth.
You make it sound like we have an agenda. We get here in the morning. Yeah. We've got things.
Item one, the debate. Tabled, paused for now. We will.
I've just already seen the memes come out from the debate, and I don't know.
I'll tell you what.
I even have the energy to watch the full thing.
It's going to be absolutely pointless in some ways because I was hoping it would be entertaining. That certainly is the reviews that it wasn't. But
it's like the political equivalent of a battle rap.
Except this wasn't entertaining. And the people who liked Trump or Biden before this debate will like Trump or Biden after the debate. The point of a debate should be that you go, whoa, hold on a second. I think I'm going to change my mind. That would be a great debate. So if you took someone like me who at this stage thinks that handing the country of the United States over to someone like Joe Biden would be the worst thing you could do. And you take someone else who thinks that that's the worst thing you could do by reelecting Trump. What you want to do is that you want to persuade me that actually I've been missing something, or that Trump is much more stupid than I thought, or that Biden's much more clever, or that one of them is just morally superior. I don't think that's happened. So.
I take the same approach when trying to convert people to Metallica and show them the light. You've got to start with some broad catalog stuff that's relatable to them and slowly but surely change their mind. So
I've seen you convert people to Metallica, but what do you
convert? My most famous conversion ever was Brendan Cooper, who you probably have met. He was the heyday editor of FHM when the magazine was at its best and biggest. He's one of the loveliest men in the world, and we've all stayed very good friends. And he posted, I went to Cape Town for the concerts in 2013, and I crashed there for the night. And he posted on Facebook, it's a sign of how much I love Gord Laws that I'm about to go watch the worst band in the world trademark with him. And he posted on Facebook the next day, Metallica, I totally get it. So sometimes you just got to drag people to the concerts. But what you can do is get sneaky and sneak in some of the symphony stuff and some of those like mighty power ballads or like some of the stuff that's more proggy. And then once they go, oh shit, despite myself, I actually like this, then you bomb them with the classics.
The stuff that's more proggy.
Yeah, like experimental progressive. And strange and atmospheric.
Yeah, see, there's a whole category called prog rock.
It's very wanky, and Metallica only just skirt the outskirts of it, but it's a way in for people who like, this is Neanderthal music and I'm too smart for it. And you're like, hang on, mate. You haven't heard all of it.
I don't know if I've ever converted anybody to anything. There was a stage in my life where I was very anti-religion, so I might have tried to convert some people to being.
Although, I think a lot of us go through that, though, like the angry atheist phase where you're actually as controlled by religion as a religious person because you're thinking about it as much and you're as upset about it.
Well, I still think about religion often because I find it such an interesting topic.
I say like people who are sort of very fiercely atheistic or whatever, like it's like playing Mortal Kombat and deciding which character like Scorpion and Sub-Zero really hate each other. So like, whose side are you on? I stand back and look at the whole game and go, it's a stupid game. Of course, Mortal Kombat rules, and that's just a metaphor. But like people who are like fighting against it are actually playing the game.
Yeah, but that's so intellectually superior and it makes you sound arrogant.
No, it's just, maybe it does, and that's not the intention.
I used to sound arrogant, so.
I just lost interest in caring either way what people do and don't believe. It's like, when you're arguing with people about it, you're still in it. You know what I mean?
Well, just by the way, this is the last from my side on the elections. We put out that poll yesterday.
Yes.
Asking if you could vote in the upcoming US elections, who would you vote for, Biden or Trump? Interesting. So more than, 23 hours later, 28% of the people who voted would vote for Joe Biden. So leaving 72% who'd vote for President Trump.
Yeah, you see, I think that kind of look, it's just our listeners and our listeners, I've always said, are much more well-informed than most. So they're unlikely to be strictly partisan also because we may have, I think it's about 20% of our audience actually live in America, or it's between 10 and 20%. from the last count that we did. But the majority of our audience, obviously, in South Africa, so they're not going to be voting. So it's not useful as an indication at all. It's just interesting. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you – what were those figures again? 20 what?
28% would vote for Biden. Okay. 72% would vote for Trump.
All right.
Okay. 72% would vote for Trump. Yeah. I think that that's hugely a function of Biden being a crap option.
I think it's probably hugely a function of the fact that we on this show tend to talk about both quite a lot. And look, let's save this for later because I don't want to use up the. I want to keep my power.
Don't use up all that ammo. Yeah.
So all right, Gord. A while ago, there was actually something on my agenda for this morning. You know, I write down some notes occasionally. So the one thing that we got plenty of email on was superpowers and crap. Yes. Superpowers, and we got into a really stupid and childish discussion, which is my favorite kind of discussion. Mm-hmm. With you. About the worst superpowers in the world. And I'm still, it's ringing in my ears that the dumbest one of all was to be able
in
to
fly.
Yes, to be able to fly, but only when you're in a plane.
Yeah. And being 7th bulletproof, that's a classic. And being able to travel forward in time 1 second.
Right. Yeah, that's just not helpful at all. Those do nothing.
To be able to go transparent when you're completely in darkness. Yeah, total darkness triggers your transparency and you totally translucent.
You want to talk about being angry with the heavens. If I got one of those superpowers, I'd be furious.
Although, how you think of these things, I do not know.
You know, even the 1 second into the future, that might save your life a couple of times.
Or you could, like, you get aroused and your one arm weighs 400 kilograms. It just turns into, like, denser matter and cannot be lifted. Like Thor's hammer, only Thor and Captain America can lift your arm while you have wood.
Yeah, right. Woody says, hey, listen to this, guys. You've converted me to podcasting from a long time ago. I haven't listened to radio since you started Cliff Central. I wonder if that's true for a lot of people.
I just refer to it as radio. It's become my new catch-all for radio. Like, I'm like podcasts.
Yeah.
I only listen to the actual radio when I'm getting a haircut or in a fucking waiting room of some kind.
I go out of my way to try and listen to podcasts I haven't listened to before because otherwise you get into a rut where you just listen to the same ones and you get really cross.
YouTube is like that. So painful with the same recommendations.
Yeah. But I also get cross with myself if I run out of my favorite podcasts, and then I have to go and look for a new one. But it's a good thing to do, right? You expose yourself to other, you know, other people. And I remember when there was this one podcast I listened to a while ago. It was probably about 5 or 6 years ago. It was Star Wars, but it was the geekiest, nerdiest, most super fan podcast I've ever heard in my life.
But were they quote toxic fans where they fight with each other about people's opinions of it, or were they like quite cool to each other?
No, they were such fucking nerds. Like the one would have a theory about the bloodline of like Rey from, you know, the last trilogy.
That's what it felt like. Was a J.J. Abrams series that didn't properly end, like Lost.
But they were such geeks, right? That the white guy would like talk like this, and he would be like, you know, I was really upset by the way that they did that lightsaber fight in like scene 42 from the second movie. And the worst thing about they were so bad. And I loved it because it was just two people who really cared about this more than anything else. Like these two, if the asteroid hit the Earth, as long as they were watching Star Wars when it happened, I think they would have been okay to die.
Have you seen Kyle Dunnigan's fake podcast that he does called Pussies?
No.
And it's an acronym, and it's him and his mates, and it's this pro-feminist, anti-male podcast by these dudes. And it's the podcast about women by men who are for women. And they just like talk about the toxic masculinity and everything and apologize to each other constantly. You really have to check it out on his Instagram. And they were apologizing for the Wizard of Oz, where the cis male who wants to rule the kingdom tries to control the terrified girl. It is very, very funny. You must check it out. Kyle Dunnigan is on Instagram, and is one of his little things he does is Pussies. He also does very funny deep fakes of the Kardashians.
I love him. I've seen his Instagram deep fakes of the Kardashians. He's fantastic. Yeah. He also does Donald Trump, which is very good.
Yeah.
He's terrific, by the way. I love him. Now that you've reminded me who he is,
Kyle Dunnigan.
But there's someone I follow on Instagram or Twitter or both called Titania McGrath, and she's this also this. But it's actually
called what?
Titania McGrath.
That's a cool
McGrath,
name.
And she's actually a man called Andrew. Forget his surname now, but I've spoken to him on email, and she's just hilarious. Like, she posts things about how everything isn't woke enough, and you know, like nothing is too woke for her, and it's just the most hilarious thing. And I remember when I'm going to say she because we know, you know, it's a character. When mm-hmm. she started, I was totally like buying it as a real person. I didn't realize it was a parody until like three or four.
Those are the best parodies.
Yeah, 3 or 4 weeks in, and I was like, nah, this person's taking the piss. It's so good. And then when you do, because the best way to mock something is to just take what they're saying and take it seriously, right? And I think this is true for anything in politics and social interaction, in business. Man, I was sitting with Bulelo yesterday. We were in a meeting, and some business term came up, grassroots or stakeholders or one of those terms. I know you hate them as much as I do, Gord. You know that corporate speak where people are like thinking mm-hmm. out of the box and all that crap?
Yep, corporate jargon bullshit where Jesus, you don't actually say anything. You got to find the synergistic golden thread.
There we go.
Leverage all platforms.
There we go.
Make sure that we get ROI on the intellectual investment. Leverage all of our channels.
Every one of those sends a shiver down your spine.
Yeah.
A term like that sends it's a dagger to my heart. I can't stand that talk.
And my foot starts writing rhyming verse on its own. It's like escape, Gordon, escape. Jesus. You must get out of this.
It's the worst, but I just looked at Bulelo when it came up in this meeting, and we just started laughing at each other because he gets it like I do, that's just the – when people talk like that, it's because they've got zero going on in their brains, zero. They've learnt it from other people. And is there something falling down in the background?
Yeah, I just tried to do something quietly and grab a tissue, and I just fucking knocked everything over, and it was the least successful stealth mission of all time. Nice. Even in the fat guy category, that was bad stealth.
When people get angry with me for blowing my nose on the show, I'm always like, well, would you rather know what I'm doing?
I remember one of our first interviews, which is at least 10, probably closer to 15 years ago, when I probably first met you, and you were like, people blowing their nose in public is disgusting, and they like should be flogged for it.
No, I do it on the show all the time.
In restaurants was your thing.
Well, but it is gross. And one of the things that coronavirus has done that I like is that it's made people a little more conscious of their body fluids and their behavior in public.
Dude, when you want to cough like just a normal, innocent old, you know, 2019 going back to forever.
Anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you got a little coffee cough that you need to get out and you're in the grocery store, you like end up with just your eyeballs starting to pulsate in rhythm with the cough that you're suppressing. And when you try and tell the ladies like, hello, would you like a bag? And all you could say is because you're trying not to have your head explode.
Oh man. So I do want to just finish this conversation about the superpowers because we've got to get to headlines. But
superpowers, yeah.
Yeah, because Woody actually says in his message, he says, would you choose a power and what power would you want if you could have any of the big superpowers? Understand and speak any language after hearing it once?
Definitely. I never thought of that, but that's a good one. Really goodie, yeah.
Remember everything that you read verbatim?
It would be awesome, but I'd rather have the languages because then you could partially remember more.
I'd
be called Babel. That would be my name. I'd be Babel, and I'd be self-righteous in any language.
That's beautiful. Know when someone is telling the truth. That's a good.
Know when someone is
telling the truth.
That would save so much time.
Yeah. If you just knew immediately if someone
was bullshit. You could actually, like, you'd ruin a lot of finding out the truth is not always, it's sometimes you'd rather not know. But yes.
Your relationships.
Being able to inflict a desperate need to have a poo on somebody.
You see, some of these are so close to being stupid superpowers, but I mean, listen to this one. This is a brilliant suggestion. So Woody says to fit into any piece of clothing you wear perfectly. So in other words, you would look good in any piece of clothing, from a Speedo to a tuxedo to a Marvel superhero's cape.
It's a good one. I would take Ever Ripped as a superhero power.
Ever Ripped, yeah. You just don't. You don't have to exercise. You can eat. You're just ripped.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, I'm sure they'll discover some drug shortly. Like in the next 100 years, they'll come up with something that you could take.
That's not shortly enough. Imagine if, imagine if the day after you die, they announce the live for 100 extra years pill, and it's been available for 10 years. They've just been FDA trialing it.
I'd be so angry. You'll
like come back from the dead.
I would haunt everyone. Here's another one, to change the nutrition of anything you eat. So if you
that's similar to ever ripped.
Yeah,
that's just the long way around for ever ripped.
I love that. I reckon that the ultimate superpower though has got to be time travel.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, there's different models for time travels that travel in fiction. If you're creating parallel universes every time you do that, then it's a massive screw up. If you can just go in a linear way, but like that's where the butterfly effect becomes scary. Like you might not high five a bicycle delivery oak, and as a result, like your best friend's never born.
Yeah.
And you just know, like you can screw up too many things. So as long as you.
Like, as long as you don't change history and you don't.
Yeah,
you don't
but you'd have to accept that no matter what happened, the future you're traveling back from will never exist in its present form again. So do you shatter current reality by leaving it to go backwards?
No. What I've always meant by for me, I know this is so boring because some people who listen to the show every day are sick of me talking about this, but I've thought about exactly what the parameters of this superpower might be.
Yeah.
And they must include me not being able to interfere. In other words, that I am an observer only to history or to the future.
That would drive me insane.
You're not allowed to interact. No, it's almost like you're in a bubble, right? Your time machine is this bubble around you, and you cannot see. You can see everything out of it, but they can't see you. They can't hear you. They can't sense you at all. And
so it's fact finding. It's just fact finding.
It's just observation. It's like God. You know.
You know what happened. In other words,
you basically you can see what happened and you can see what's going to happen.
And can you be anywhere? Like you can.
The only place
you're invisible.
The only time that you can exist in is in your own life that you're currently in.
Yeah, but I'm saying when you're in the past and stuff, you can't be seen.
No.
So you can just stand there and watch them sign the Constitution.
Yeah, or
next to everyone.
Yeah, you can see the dinosaurs, but you can't actually interact with them.
You wouldn't be able to breathe that air, so it's handy to have your own bubble.
All right, so let's get on with it. There's stuff to talk about. 10.3 million young people in South Africa are not in employment, education, or training. Just... Take a minute to think about that. We have a population of 60 million, maybe, right? 10.3 million young people in this country.
How young is young?
They will say that this is...
Presumably, it's of potential working age.
Yeah, so this is anywhere upwards of 16. Upwards of 16 and below the age of 25. That's incredible. That's very, very upsetting. Stats SA on Tuesday said that while official unemployment decreased by 6.8 percentage points to 23.3%, the official unemployment rate decreased in all 9 provinces. I don't know if I believe that, by the way, during this year, unless there is a massive lag on their statistics this year, guaranteed.
Or they laid off the person that counts who has and hasn't got jobs.
Yeah. I don't know, because that seems to me to be unbelievable. Anyway, they say that the expanded unemployment figures increased in the same period, reaching a staggering 42%. 42%, man.
Shucks.
Yeah. So if you look at the graph, it's really quite a scary situation. 42% unemployment. Yeah, it means that out of every 10 people you meet, at least 4 of them, and sometimes 5, do not have work. And according to this, those same ones are probably not students or in training either. Man.
Well, that's depressing as hell.
Yeah, that is just something we can lay entirely at the feet of government. I'm sorry, but there's no other person to blame here, because it's not as if those young people want to sit on their asses. It's not as if they're being useless. Everyone wants to have a meaningful reason to wake up in the morning. And again, I know this sounds trite, but please, if you are waking up today and you're going to work, don't complain about it, because you're lucky. Yeah. You're lucky to have something to do. You've got some purpose, some usefulness, some utility in your life. Please don't be a greedy, selfish person and think something's wrong with you because you have to work. You have a chance every day to make a business, the country, the economy a little more effective. Don't just go in and clock in and clock out, please. There are enough people in this country who are sitting out there desperate for your job. Whether or not they're qualified for that job is a whole different issue, but we'll leave it at that. SAA's business rescue practitioners have suspended all operations at the struggling airline. Administrators said they were putting the state-owned carrier under care and maintenance until funding for a restructuring plan was found. So these fucking useless people who've been running SAA into the ground for the last 15 years have now got to ask for more money. And guess what? Government has to come up with $10.5 billion to support, listen to this, not to get the airline out of trouble. This is not, you know, if you go to the bank because you need a loan of, let's say, 100,000 rand, otherwise you are not going to survive. And you've got debts to the tune of like 80,000 rand, and you need that 20 to live, then that would put you back at zero, right?
Yes, I'm following the maths.
But this 10.5 billion they're asking for is just to support the restructuring plan. It's not to sort out their problems.
Such absolute assholes, that's what I call them.
Yeah, SAA, such absolute assholes.
The whole thing's just never going to get off the ground.
No, it's so embarrassing.
They've really had their wings clipped. And
yeah, there's been a double murder in KZN. Do you want to hear about that?
Ugh. Yeah, right.
In Kwamashu, hey, Sia, you're in Durban. You better look out. The killer's following you.
Look, between the past couple of days, it's this, and then there was that horrible accident in Pinetown. There's a lot happening here right now. That's not good.
Police are still at the scene of a double murder next to a clinic. The victim's bodies are being retrieved. Apparently, these women's bodies were found in the township's P section. They had gunshot wounds to the head. You know, that's usually the kind of thing that would indicate assassination of some kind. And unless these are important or prominent women, the first place to look is their husbands or their boyfriends.
Yeah, or their
fathers or someone who they actually know, which is always the most scary thing of all to think about. Because for some reason, we're all still going around thinking that these murderers and rapists in this country are strangers. They're not. They usually are known to the victim. It's just a horrible thing to comprehend, you know? All right, Richard Mdluli, do you remember that name?
Remind me?
He's the former crime intelligence boss. This is a long story, but he basically is the guy who... he was a dirty cop, effectively, and he was very much involved in the NPA's investigations into murders, general lawlessness in the police. He was being identified.
It's a bizarre name for a general in the police.
Richard Mdluli. He's a very, very dangerous man by all accounts, and I remember that. What's her name? The DA's shadow. Police minister for a while, or else she was on the NPA. There are a couple of people who have been involved in various altercations with this man over time. But anyway, he's been on trial for a long time, and his application for leave to appeal has been dismissed, which means now he has to go behind bars. He's effectively going to go to prison for 5 years, Richard Mdluli. So I know that for many of us, the wheels of justice turn very, very slowly. And, maybe that's annoying and frustrating, but this guy is ultimately going to go and spend some time in jail. He and a former police officer were convicted of kidnapping, assaulting, and intimidating a man called Opa Ramohibe all the way back in 1998. So it's taken 12 years for this justice to be served. Now, Opa Ramohibe had married Richard Mdluli's customary law wife, Tsidi Buthelezi, and he then had him kidnapped, and clearly he's guilty of the crime. He assaulted and intimidated him, and so he's going to jail. How do you like that?
Fine. Well,
good.
Jail's either going to be easier or much less easy as a result of being a former police person.
I think it'll be worse. I don't think prison. Prison is so horrible. It doesn't matter who you are. Oh,
terrifying thought.
Dude, you talk about superpowers on one hand. My worst fear is that I would be accused of a crime that I didn't commit, end up being sentenced, and go to a South African jail. Any jail. Pick your jail. It would be just fucking
awful. South American jails, South African jails.
Yeah.
There's some shitty jails. Asia do a really good shit jail.
And then the first little review that we're going to give to the Trump-Biden debate, they exchanged heated barbs on Tuesday, attacking each other's competence and credibility in a fiery presidential debate 35 days before the tensest U.S. election in recent memory. I think that's worth saying. There was no handshake as the two men took to the stage, and while this was due to COVID-19, the absence of that traditional greeting symbolized the bitterness engulfing the country in the final countdown. Just minutes in, the debate turned into an all-out and personal brawl as they raced through issues from a Supreme Court vacancy to the coronavirus pandemic to the U.S. healthcare system. So it's interesting. I mean, here are some outtakes just quickly for you. Everything he's saying so far is simply a lie. I'm not here to call out his lies. Everybody knows he's a liar. That's what Biden said. Will you shut up, man, is another line that Biden used. So if you thought Trump was uncivil, it behooves you to acknowledge it.
Will you shut up, man?
Yeah. Will you
Can
shut
you imagine
up, man?
You in the middle of a debate, Gareth? You're going on, you're singing your heart out, you unpacking your beliefs, you solving the problems, and some fucking opponent goes, will you shut up, man? Would you say? How would you come back from that?
So, I mean, let's just be honest and say that both of these two have just absolutely zero panache. They have no idea
now,
how to behave.
Pence and Harris will still debate as well, right?
I think so. Maybe that'll be more interesting. Anyway,
I wonder if he debates pensively.
So there's a few headlines for you this morning. I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole of talking about that all morning, though.
We never got to do the news music. I hate it when you catch me off guard.
Sorry.
Can we
talk about how much spam there is at the moment? Because every morning when I log on to my email, I'm getting a shit ton of spam.
You need to put your spam filters on, dude. No, you also need to mark everything you get that's spam as spam.
Hold the fuck on, Gordo. Because
hold on.
I have so many rules in my mailbox that's immediately, you know, it's filtering everything that comes in. And then it all goes to the rubbish bin straight away. But despite having, I don't know, close to 100 rules in there about what kinds of things immediately get thrown away. And usually when I get an email from somebody who's, you know, obviously not a real person, or it's a bot, or it's one of those generated emails, I'm one of those people who goes to the trouble of unsubscribing or creating a rule from that if this email address ever sends me anything again, it goes straight to the deleted folder, etc. So I've done all that. I've done my homework, and every day I clear it out and I unsubscribe from another 5 or 6 different newsletters that I didn't subscribe to. Still, I'm getting them.
But you probably got one of those email addresses that people will have on their databases that they've added manually. So you'll be like an obvious one.
Do you think that's why?
Could be, because there's agencies who make money just like selling this sort of shit. And it's like, you know, access to databases. Same as when you get those SMSs that you didn't opt in for, that you have to opt out for. If you opt out, they take you off that particular mailing list, but then they upgrade your number to active and replies.
So for every one you opt out of,
you get added to 5 more lists, because now it's an authenticated number. It's known. If you reply, you must have read the message. So now you become a more expensive phone number to sell the next person.
So you're screwed either way.
Yeah, totally.
Basically. So spam emails are one thing. I am very annoyed by the spam phone calls recently, and I've had a bunch of those.
Preach.
And you know what? It's not the telemarketers, a human telemarketer.
You have to be nice to them, because they're doing that job because it's the only job they can get. No one's like, I can't wait to be a telemarketer.
So that's one thing. Have you been getting those recorded messages?
Oh, my God, where they play you an advert. They phone you to play, and you can't even shoot anyone in the face because it's a robot.
Now, whose grand idea was it to do that? Where I pick up, and already it's just a second of music, and then you get, do you want to win a new winner match?
I make a point of
Just do that again, Sia. How does it go?
It honestly starts like that, like, do you want to win a new winner magic Telefunken Television?
That's great. Did they actually go Telefunken Television?
I think they got Peggy, who was just the last one at the studio that day. They're like, Peggy, come.
Do they say Television?
It is always right. What is the other one I got?
Television.
The other day was something along the lines of, do you feel lucky today? Well, come on down and listen, man.
I just make a note and mentally blacklist all the brands that do that. It's like, how dare you? Who went and sat with the board or the MD or whatever and his team, her team, and was like, okay, guys, we're going to play an advert. We're going to phone 10 million people and play them an advert, and they're all going to buy your product now.
There's one that keeps calling me, but I've got this thing called Truecaller on my phone, which is quite
handy. I've got it too,
But sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. But there's this one group that keep calling me, and what happens is that someone refers you, because sometimes I actually know the name of the person who refers you. They say, hi, I'm calling you from – something life. It's like an insurance thing. Okay.
Yes.
I'm calling you from this thing in life, and I was referred to you by blah, blah, blah. And we've got a present for you. We've got a gift for you. And you get to choose between a pot plant and a little fan on your desk. And
I'm in fan on the desk. I mean, sign me up.
And it's so annoying, because then they're basically going to spam you with advertising for the rest of your life. And you must never ever subscribe to these things. But it's essentially the person who wanted this gift so badly before you used your email, and because you have to refer on 5 people.
Well, yeah, we're in media, I work in advertising and branding and marketing and stuff. So, you know, you kind of see the pervasiveness of it, but there's a large part of the market that like just think it's normal. Like your phone to ring and play you an ad, it's the phone gods. And so it's just like TV ads. You just kind of accept them. We are like aware of the fact that there's a whole marketing strategy behind it and how evil and sinister and invasive it is. But I mean, I see advertising. It's gross. And that's why I don't like being in it, because good advertising is rare, but very good. But mostly it's just shit. People need to figure out how to use the new mediums in less invasive ways and make entertaining or at least non-invasive advertising.
I just don't know that advertising even works in the way that it used to work, because people are just so saturated with that shit now. They can also see it from a mile away, which before we were kind of a bit – we were very rubbish about the way that we – oh, an ad. You know, there used to be great ads, and you'd enjoy watching an ad.
You look forward to them, and the ad awards. I still like checking out the ad awards and that sort of thing. But like Red Bull went about it brilliantly by making content and owning the content platforms and branding the content and making good content for a long time. So now that that's the main sort of content consumption model, they're well established. They've got the break dancing and the rapping and the formula and the O's jumping out of space and all of that. And their name's on all of it, and people are watching it because it's cool.
Listen to this. This is a really interesting series of messages from Sean. He says, morning all. I couldn't sleep, so I got up to watch the debate. Here's what you need to know, according to Sean. Unfortunately for him, he says, Biden didn't fuck up and Trump owned, but it wasn't great. He says, I was watching on BBC, so obviously the one correspondent said, well, there were 3 white males. I'm drinking gin now at this time of the morning. Oh. So well done, Sean. Love Gord, but he's got it exactly wrong with the Dems. They don't have any argument except that Orange Man bad.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's what Gord said. And then he says, I read Mandy Wiener's book. That Richard Mdluli guy deserves more than SA jail. He is a huge cunt, according to Sean.
Oh.
That's a hell of a word.
I wonder if the drug testing thing happened per President Trump's tweet the other day.
No. Lindy says, oh my God, that life insurance thing called me every week last month telling me about some gift of sanitary products. I feel sorry for the people who work for that company, because their job is honestly shit and they're also annoying. Yeah, you see, Lindy, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's so hard not to like climb down cold callers' throats, but you have to try not to. At least I do try not to, because It's like, imagine that job, man. You need to pay, make ends meet. That's available. And you've got to phone people who are always going to shit on you. I reckon it can't be better than 20 to 1 people who are interested and people who are telling you just to piss right off.
Yeah. Here's another bad superpower. X-rays that give you cancer. X-ray eyes that give you cancer.
Ah. Jeez, if they give you or the person you're X-raying.
Give you cancer.
Yeah, not ideal.
That's really shit.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
Yeah. Here are a lot of people saying that they only listen to podcasts now. And this one's interesting. I never listen to radio anymore. It's my birthday. I'm 25. Wow. Okay.
Happy.
Well, Tato, that is impressive because Tato already, I think he works for a bank. He's a serious dude, this Tato. I've read a message or two from him before. 25,
welcome,
and you've already...
life crisis.
Well, he's already got a serious job, and like he seems to be climbing up in the corporate world.
It's so all downhill from there. Any fun he hasn't had by now. The best time you've had so far, that's the best time you'll have.
Oh, bullshit, Gordon.
No, don't say that.
Just kidding. I'm like the guy in Fight Club. I just want to destroy something young and beautiful.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're doing, you son of a bitch.
I'm proud. I'm just envious.
Someone saying yay. This is Chow saying, yay, waking up to Gord's voice is the best ever.
Oh, Chow, you're the best ever.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Gord, Metallica is a way of life. Well done for saying that.
Of course it is. Isn't that you great? Don't have to explain. Some people just know.
Sandile says, thank you for that pooing episode. I play it every week. The way that woman fell apart was magical. So you weren't on that show, Gord, but we had a woman who was a poo expert.
I was about to say, if she's the pooing woman and that's what she's known for, I need the backstory. So she, hello, I'm the pooing woman.
She's a dietitian, and she joined us to talk about how you know whether or not you're shitting properly, effectively. And she was wildly popular with the audience because I started playing like fart noises, and Sia and Leanne were asking about how big a turd should be and that kind of thing. And
God, sounds like a really fun one, guys.
She broke down and she just started laughing. And she's actually a serious person who has like real expertise to share. And I think
did she know what show she was cutting? Oh my God.
I always wonder if people know. Yeah, cause we've got a list of some fairly serious people who've been on this show.
Then there's me.
Yeah, and then there's people like Gord and the shit woman and those people who...
That's what she's known for now. That's what she's known for.
Exactly.
Screw what her LinkedIn says.
All right,
it reminds me of like, well, it was like, you know that old jokes that were hysterical and you look on them from your childhood and realize just how offsides they were. So like, there was this dude that used to sit outside the bottle store that we would stop at. It was a Solly Kramer's, and it was like in the parking lot of the shopping center at Blue Route Mall, like as its own little island of shop in the parking lot away from the main massive liquor store.
Yeah.
And we'd go there occasionally, and there was like a homeless person that would sit there, but he didn't have legs. And my dad would give me money and say, go give this to the drunk guy. And I was like, okay, he's homeless. He might be drunk. And after a few times, I'm like, why do you call him the drunk guy? And my dad was like, because he's always completely legless. And it was like one of those set up and perfectly timed jokes that nearly killed me because it was so funny. And now I'm like, it's so wrong and it's so not okay by today's standards. But that just reminded me of that. The shit woman.
At least we know where you get your sense of humor from then.
God's sake, yeah. And all kinds of other dysfunctions.
Jesus. All right, well, we've got someone interesting joining us later on, Lindiwe Matlali, who is the founder and CEO of Africa Teen Geeks. You know how I feel about science education and all the rest of it. So we'll talk about her. She started this back in 2014. She was inspired by an 8-year-old girl from the US who started her own app. And she's now one of 23 change makers who's being recognized in social innovation by something called the Schwab Foundation. How does that sound?
Schwab.
The Schwab Foundation, yeah. For social entrepreneurship in partnership with the World Economic Forum. So we'll find out about what she's up to. It sounds like somebody we should know about, right?
Okay. It's good to hear stories like this because, look, it's not all shitty.
So the one of the reasons I brought up that superpowers discussion again, because I know it keeps coming up, but it's a fun exercise to do with your imagination, is this email from Hilton. He says, I went for a little stroll around a small nature reserve a few days ago to see the spring flowers and get some fresh air. The next morning, I had an itch that needed to be scratched, so I asked my wife to oblige, which she did, only to find a small tick latched onto my back, sucking me dry. A tick. This had me perplexed, and consulting Dr. Google, I feared death by tick. Anyway, my question is this. Superpowers would Tick Man have? We know how awesome Spider-Man turned out to be. I can't seem to come up with anything positive, but I know that Gord will be able to help.
P.S. There is a... Carry on, please.
No, he says, P.S., who should I contact first, Marvel or DC?
Well, there's already, I think it's a DC comic called The Tick, and they're on Amazon Prime with a TV show. It could be Marvel, but I'm pretty sure it's their answer to Ant-Man.
So is this
it's like a comedy superhero thing that's you can – yeah, they've actually made two series of it, one back in the day that wasn't so good and one that's like current now. So if you've got Amazon Prime, which everyone who enjoys paid streaming services should get because it's like the other Netflix. It's about 90 Rand a month, and it's available in SA. They just haven't – advertised that they've launched like more than a year ago. They've got great shows on there, including The Boys, which is superhero related. But yeah, the Tick's already a thing. He can jump very far, but he's one of those like flawed comedy superheroes where he's got a lot of personal issues. But like if you were to apply the superhero power of creating a new, you would be able to suck fluid into your body and swell up to 20 times. So basically like you could go from looking like Sia to looking like me just by sucking the juice out of one person.
Oh,
and then you could survive like that for ages.
That's terrible. That's not a good. That's not a great.
I was thinking like torches, low budget but extreme torches, right? Like you tie, like if you've got to get information out of somebody, but you haven't got like Guantanamo Bay expertise or equipment, just tie someone down and take the stick from an ice cream and rub it on their teeth. That would be one way. But another one would be you take a tick and you put it, I don't know what the scientific term is for the geesh, but you know that little area between your naught and your balls, that little no man's land, that little island right in between there. Yeah. You just with tweezers, you place a tick or a leech on there and then the person can't move or do anything. And then they'll tell you all the secrets.
I think so. I think I'd tell all my secrets if you did that to me.
You wouldn't even get the tick onto my geesh. I'd be spilling my guts.
Well, Francois says you should grow up. Everybody who's worried about ticks, because he works in conservation and he gets ticks on him every week, basically.
That's your boss evaluating how you performed for the week and you did well. That's a different kind of tick.
No. He works in conservation, so he's in the bush all the time. He gets a tick.
A
I know, but it was shit.
It was terrible.
He works in conservation, so he says every week there's a tick and he's not going to die of tick bite fever anytime soon. Stop.
You see, he appreciates me even if it's late. I don't know enough about ticks to have, but I know that some of them can make you sick. I'm assuming it's like mosquitoes with malaria. Most of them don't. Sia's loving this. He's only getting it now. But man, is he getting value?
He is reveling in your stupid tick joke.
Bank the humor and then let it gain interest.
No, go on, that is good. Okay, I'll say that.
You know, it's funny dick jokes and tick jokes are the only things that get Sia laughing anymore.
Yes.
Don't forget about Rick jokes. He loves a good Rick joke.
He loves a good Rick joke.
And a Nick joke.
Yeah, okay, it's enough now. That area is called the perineum, Gord, between your balls and your ass.
Yes.
Oh. And some
that
people
just doesn't
call it,
feel like.
Some people call it the taint.
It's also known as a chommy and a geesh.
Oh, really? I've never heard
called
those.
Called it a chommy.
Yeah.
That's what it's. I've just heard it called these things. I didn't make these words up.
People still and call each other chommy.
Yeah, but that's your chommy.
And the fact that you are in conversations where a term like that is rarely used is slightly worrying.
So, Gord, you said a Rick joke, and it just got me thinking. So I watched the last 3 weeks, I watched one of the Back to the Future movies every week as part of these movie nights that I'm doing with my sister. It's like this thing we've got going on. It's really cool. And
if you watch them in reverse, they still make chronological sense.
I know.
They do. They end in the present.
It's fantastic. So I watched all three of them, and they're great movies, and they're still great movies, even though they've dated quite badly in some respects. But what's cool about it is if you've watched Rick and Morty, which is obviously loosely based on, you know, the Doc and Marty.
Mm.
When Marty is like, every time anything happens, you can kind of see Michael J. Fox going, oh, oh, geez, Rick. You know, and kind of losing his shit.
Oh, gee, Rick.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so funny because...
That show is so absolutely brilliant. It's like one of my best shows ever. Me and my homie Shadow and Gumpy, we like have different approaches to watching the new seasons. Like I download the episode as it comes out. I want to watch it immediately. Shane like doesn't want to hear about anything. You're not allowed to discuss it until it's a whole series and he can like make an occasion of watching it at once, yeah. Which I totally get. I'm like that with certain series as well. In fact, they've started now going back to the format of releasing one episode a week. Ted Lasso on ITV, which is just brilliant. The Boys, Raised by Wolves.
Yeah, I've heard this Boys is amazing. And
it's amazing. It's a superhero thing, but it's like if superheroes were regular people, i.e. prone to being pusses, how would they behave?
Yeah.
But there's a show on HBO Max called Raised by Wolves. You'll have to download it because you don't get HBO here, mm-hmm. but it is absolutely outstanding. What is that about? Humans get sent off to another planet to ditch the Earth, but it's died because of a war between extremely religious people and very scientific atheists. The religious people get the upper hand and they send off two droids with a bunch of incubation things to mm-hmm. go to a planet and rebuild humanity. But then some of the religious people arrive there as well. And now they're trying to survive on this alien planet. This android who's programmed to protect and nurture the kids at all costs. Like her programming is, you know, she's a great mother, but she'll fuck up anything that comes near them and not always for the benefit of the children. It's just really, really good. And they're also releasing that one week at a time. And it's so frustrating because, like, I got on halfway, so I downloaded half of it and watched that all in a binge sitting, and then I've had to wait 1 week. So the point was that a lot of TV shows have gone back to that format. Fargo just launched on also one of the streaming networks we don't get here. Showmax have got the rights to it in SA, so it won't be on Netflix for a while. But that's a new season of Fargo, and I'm so looking forward to it, but it's also coming out one episode at a time, so I'm going to wait.
All right, yeah, I've now got so I'm going to put those two on my list. Of
all the things I've recommended, Raised by Wolves is the first thing to check out, and then The Boys, and there's a whole bunch of other great stuff on Prime if anyone's interested.
Yeah, because I'm still on the fumes of Vikings, Norseman.
Norseman is so great. Yeah, it's so funny.
I finished that a while ago.
Show is so funny. It's almost fatal. It's one of those where you, in every episode at least once, laugh to the point where you have to take a moment and recover.
Hey, apparently, according to one of the messages here, this is from Grant. He says, Raised by Wolves was partially shot in Cape Town.
Yeah, a friend of mine pointed that out as well. And once it's pointed out, you can notice it's like all very frosty mountains and Karooish.
Kala says that it's called a chommy because it keeps your dick away from your asshole.
Like a good friend.
Yeah. I'm not gonna
I didn't that. Come up with that. It's just a known expression. People have referred to it in my life as that. I didn't make it up.
All right. Very good. Then we've got to take a break for the podcast. So you know what happens here. I play a song and then we come back with Gord Laws in a little while. We'll also speak to one or two guests in the next hour. Stick around for that. Lindiwe Matlali, who is the founder and CEO of Africa Teen Geeks, which sounds like something we would be interested in. I love little geeks, and particularly when they start getting inquisitive and curious about the world at an early age. I think my nephews are both geeks. One of them's a geek. One of them is a geek. The other one is a little barbarian. It's amazing how different their personalities are too, and they're starting to really develop those personalities. The one is 6 and the other one is 4. And it's just unbelievable. This is when it becomes fun.
Wait until they're teenagers and they've got a WhatsApp group and you're on it and they crack like genuinely witty, sometimes offside and atheistic jokes. How proud you'll be the first time there's a religious joke from your nieces who you've watched grow up.
All right, we've got to go. We'll be back in a couple of seconds. Here's something that Gord has asked for those of you mm-hmm. who are listening live this morning.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
Get your Wednesday started right, Joe.
Mm-hmm. I want to get into it, man, you know. Like a sex machine, man.
That's right. Moving, here's James
doing
Brown.
It, you know. Can I count it off? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Cliffcentral.com.